the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show in association with Audio Boom. I'm Caroline Barker. Coming up this week...
You know, you're coming to a club that's run like a proper league club.
From the self-titled best manager in the Football League to the best in the National League, come in Ronnie Moore. Plus, some new fans on the cards.
A big game on Saturday against Tranmere and a couple of defeats in a row, and that can all change, and that's the nature of the beast.
Let's bring in the team then. Not two, but one Dave this week. Former manager at AFC Wimbledon, fresh from the golf course, Dave Anderson.
Good evening.
Did you have a nice little break?
I did. I was in Rhodes with the family and it was lovely.
This is going to work for radio. You've come back with some new glasses.
I've always been blind. It's just you've been in Manchester most weeks.
I've not seen these before. This is all important in the world of yeah. We're recording this on the Thursday, the day that
get
they
glasses
said
for radio.
No to Premier League B teams. But the most important thing is your glasses.
I can actually see the script now.
Oh, yeah. Script? What script? Off the script. Let's bring in a familiar voice to most listeners of the Non-League Show. Afternoon, evening and good night to Swampy.
Well, it's actually good morning, but mihao.
Yeah, so we should explain.
Was that a pussycat?
Yeah, where you've gone. I can actually speak ni hao, lao shu hao, ni shan ti hao, ma hung hao, she shen. I have no idea what it means, but we learnt it at school.
With curry sauce.
Tell us where you are, then.
I'm in Shanghai, in the French Quarter, enjoying life as a Mai Tai, a trailing spouse. Primarily enjoying the bars and the nightlife of Shanghai together with lots of football, while my beloved works probably about 14 hours a day.
So you're on a jolly?
I'm on a giant jolly, yes.
For those who aren't familiar to the dulcet tones of Swampy, he's formerly of FC... I say formerly, you are now the Chinese correspondent for FC United of Manchester, is that right?
I am indeed, together with the 70 other branch members of the FC United Chinese branch.
So what does the FC United of China Manchester branch, or Manchester of China branch even, think of this news today then that essentially there'll be no Premier League B teams joining the EFL, as we're contractually obliged to call it, a League 3 organisation and winter break that was still very much on the cards?
Yeah, I mean, I've not really spoken to all my comrades as of yet. They're darted around the whole of this country, and it's quite a large one. But I mean, they are fanatical about their Premier League football here. And I think really, I mean, from a perspective of looking at the way they were trying to go, I think it's a good thing that we aren't going down that third division, so to speak. We're still talking, perhaps, obviously, cup competitions and other things that might come in, including the winter break and so on and so forth. Mm. And amongst it all, I think there's been some good reason debate. I think the winter break is a good reason debate. But I think to have second teams within the Premier League structure playing in different divisions, for me, it's not beneficial for the greater good. And certainly it's not going to help, I don't believe, semi-professional and the non-league game in general.
We've had loads of messages to at non-league show on social media about this. Many saying, well, what happens now? John says, if the Football League bottom divisions are regionalised, below would need to be as well. No point in a national conference to feed to a regional. So, yeah, you couldn't have a League 3, North and South, and then a national.
Yeah. No, not at all.
But Angry wants to come in. Go on.
No, I think it's good news. I haven't read it inside out, you know, but I think the headline is good news for us. You know, the winter break we've spoke about, I'd be happy if the Top Guns had a winter break and non-league didn't. I think non-league would benefit from that. More publicity, bigger crowds, you know, something like that. And, you know, if you ask the guy in the street and, you know, the sort of guys that go to non-league and football supporters in general, I think the vast majority of football supporters love the winter. They love the tradition of it, the sort of them cold, wet pitches and exciting cup ties.
But on the subject of kind of restructuring, if that happens, do we have to restructure the whole of non-league? Then Martin says, time to restructure non-league to a 1-2-4-8-16 structure with one plus playoffs promoted in each league. So a national,
you
then
sound like my counting.
Yeah. One league down to two leagues, down to four leagues, down to eight leagues, down to 16.
Nah.
All right.
I do think that if the Football League or the EFL or whatever it's called decide to go to regional, then I think it would make sense that what falls beneath it is regional.
Andy says, given the tectonic nature of change within the FA, might be the best opportunity for a long time to get at least two promotion places. So yeah. is that kind of the payoff if you're saying to the National League, right, we're going to essentially, should this happen, take you and create you as League Three, yeah, and then have another promotion place?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. It'll be interesting to see how it works. The one thing, look, if you split the leagues and you regionalise them, then cost and it drops because of travel and all that sort of stuff. But it does dilute what you get. Mm. That's why you have regional leagues. National leagues, because you get the best put together from the country. So when you split that, you dilute what you're getting.
Go on, Swamps.
But what you get in there, Dave, as well, though, unfortunately, for me, is the National League itself, I think, has actually not done itself any favours with the vast majority of teams being full-time and basically professional teams. If we still had a structure where every team was still semi-professional in the true sense of the word, opposed to teams that primarily, if they get relegated from the league, they're going to try and bounce back straight away with this like parachute payment. And those teams that are seeking to get into the Football League as well are spending lots and lots of money. So you've got full-time clubs everywhere. I like the idea of the regional leagues. I think that's probably a better thing. And we saw this week only, was it Torquay? They couldn't even afford to get the players to a game or even use a hotel. So again, travelling costs, massive costs for clubs. But we've got this ideal that the next division up is going to provide so much more money and so much more income that we've got so many now professional clubs within the semi-pro game. Even in Conference North, we've got three clubs in Conference North at the moment that are full-time, you know, full-time professional clubs in the Conference North.
In the National
15
North.
Years ago. Sorry, National North, yeah, sorry. Conference North, yeah, National.
You sounded so intelligent until that line. I was thinking that the Far East is doing you the world of good, because most of what you said there was quite sensible, and it's not often I say that, Swampy. But surely you would agree that, and I understand sort of regionalising it, but by doing that you then dilute what you get.
Mm.
You do, yeah. But I think we've diluted it by having so many professional clubs, so to speak, opposed to semi-pro clubs within football. I don't think that helps. You know, teams like Guiseley, they've done tremendously well to stay where they have for the last three or four seasons in division, and other clubs as well that are on shoestring budgets, perhaps, compared to those that are full-time. And also, Dave, you know yourself, if you get to train every day as a footballer, you're going to improve. You know, you've got a better chance rather than twice a week with, you know, players that have come straight from work, opposed to training with every single day. So the playing field is very unlevel at this moment in time. So something has to change, and we'll have to see how it goes going forward.
I know you want to make a final point, David. Just to say, we're going to have the chief exec of the National League, Michael Tattersall, is going to be with us on next week's show. Wanted to reflect, obviously, on all that's happened. Take it in. They'll go and meet and discuss it further with the National League after today, Thursday, as we record this, after this news came out today, and then we'll go through it all with him. So we will talk more about this next week. One final point, Dave?
No, I think that as much as I hate change, I'm a dinosaur in them aspects. I think there is a lot of good could come out of this. Your worry is that if it's going to be a big change now, that they get it right, because you can't keep chopping and changing it, you know. Unlike a football manager that I chopped and changed all the time. But I do think there is a chance of doing some good out of this.
Swampy, at Non-League Show for more thoughts on that. Swampy, you mentioned Torquay. Another one of the stories to come out in the past couple of days is that they're up for a bargain price, David Phillips, their chairman. Obviously, they've been trying to find investors, trying to sell the club as well. You mentioned that they struggled. They couldn't afford a coach and a hotel, so they all had to go separately to their match at Boreham Wood on Saturday. He says they're available for less than the price of a big detached house. He reckons that they're a bargain as well. They did have, looked like they were securing new investment early this year, but it fell through for one reason or another. I get what he's saying about the cost of it is not a lot, but it's actually then what it costs to keep. You'll know this with FC United. It's what it costs to keep going. Torquay have a big support, Swampy. FC United have a big support, but the day in, day out costs of running a football club, it's extortionate.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. And, you know, I've been down to Torquay because FC United played against them in the FA Trophy a couple of seasons ago. And you can see, you know, it's a league club. It's got everything there, but the cost implication. And also, one of the things I found quite strange, and I'm sure a number of Torquay fans will probably get in contact and say, contrary to this, but from what we can gather is that the vast majority of people that actually follow Torquay don't live in the Torquay area. They come out of Torquay and come to watch their football club. So, you know, the fan base has been slowly, not dwindling, but it's a lot less than it could be. So they need it's interesting though. What's the cost of a three-bedroom detached house? It depends where, though, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It's about $7,000 where I grew up.
I can buy one for £70,000 where I live. And if you live in London, you're paying £4 million. And if you live in Shanghai, well, basically, you can probably buy Chelsea. You know, it's that expensive over here. But I think
as well, Swampy, that, you know, Torquay, their location doesn't help, you know, because their travel costs against other travel costs will be, you know, astronomical. And sorry, just the last point for me is that the sort of, when we're looking for help from above and out of the FA and the Premier League, should there be a claim system where somewhere like Tranmere can put in a funding for their coaches and it's paid? You know, it's paid, you know, some sort of system like that.
I know why you said Tranmere, because we're going to talk about Tranmere next.
Torquay,
that's all right.
Yeah,
two T's.
Yes,
two T's.
No, that's it, Isle of Man.
Yeah. Oh, he's sharp for what time in the morning is it? 2:30?
It's 20 past 2 a.m.
Swampy's
just getting going.
I was about to say 2:30. Why when it's 20 past 7 here, is it going to be anything other than 20 past wherever he is in the world? Yeah. Unless, of course, there are several parts of the world where it's half an hour on. But anyway, that's a side issue that we can discuss on our Clocks of the World podcast. This is, though, the non-league show. Tranmere, Paul Carden's been put in charge. Gary Brabin at the weekend lost his job there. We had Nicola Palios on a couple of weeks ago talking about how long he'd
been
given.
We asked her directly and all, and she was, listen, I don't blame her, but I thought she was as evasive and did her best to answer the question without answering it. Well, she's done very well answering it without answering it. But, you know, when you look at it, I think they're fifth or sixth. I know their defensive record's up there in the top two or three off the top of my head. You just wonder again. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about, I forget who it was that lost her job, and we said it was a decision that we felt had been premeditated.
It was, funnily enough, Chris Todd at Eastleigh, and we're going to talk to the new Eastleigh boss in a minute.
Ronnie, he can't hear us. But it's funny, this sort of has that feel as well, because I know they had a great start, Tranmere, and then they made their last three, maybe lost 4-1-1 or whatever it is, but in 11 games they're fifth, they're 4 or 5 points off top. No major issues, I would say. Great defensive record, and he loses his job. That tells me that internally they wanted to replace him.
We saw the same with Salford a couple of seasons ago with Phil Power. He was they were second at Christmas and only a few points off top spot, and they made the change. But what's interesting, very very quickly, is that we look at the Premier League and the Football League itself, and they have these windows, don't they? You know, you can buy a player between this point and this point, and then you can't do it until January. Well, why don't we start doing that with managers as well, then? If you're not allowed to buy a player, you can't get rid of a manager during that period. You know, if the same thing applies for both.
Swampy, you don't use all your good ideas up on one show, mate.
He might not get another opportunity.
I think that's a really good idea. Yeah. I think that's a
I've had six months to think about this.
Well, on that note, we can't have any more good ideas from you because it will show us both up. So we're going
to
hang up on
you. I was going to say before he goes, if that had been brought in a couple of years ago, I'd have kept my job for a while longer.
And he's only talking about this show.
I'd be thankful it didn't.
Yeah. Swampy, before we let you go, what's the state of non-league football in China?
They're obsessed with the Premier League. The Chinese league here, obviously, is now huge. The likes of Sven-Göran Eriksson is managing teams here, the local Shanghai team, Hulk's over here playing.
Are they decent?
The semi-pro game's alive and kicking. There's a lot of people playing football. Shanghai itself is there's not a huge amount of space available, but I think there are probably about, there's a lot of regional teams There's a several semi-professional teams. There's a lot of expat teams playing football here. So football is on the up and everyone likes to go into the pub and talk about it, be it the local team or be it their international team. But it's certainly the sport that everybody really enjoys here, above everything else, really. And as I say, you know, we've got supporters groups from all over. We go to local pubs, someone from everywhere loving the football.
Swampy, as always, thank you for coming on the show. 2:30 in the morning. It's still not that time.
No, it's not quite.
No, it's 22 past whatever time it is. We will speak to you again anon. And thank you for waking up or staying awake or
good luck,
just,
Paul.
You know, coming in for your rave.
I'm off to the pub now. Anyway, it's open till 6.
Hey! Swampy joining us on the Non-League Show all the way from China. If, like Swampy, you are a fan abroad, enjoying the show or just not enjoying the show and you want to talk about it, you can get in touch with us at Non-League Show and we might get you on the programme. We are going to hear from some more fans between now and the end of the show, but coming up, that manager that you spoke of who got the old tin tack, we'll talk to his replacement.
Good.
Well, let's bring another guest into the show now. On social media, he's known as the best manager in the National League. Quite a title, as he's only been in the league a month. Eastleigh boss Ronnie Moore joins us. Hiya, Ronnie.
Hi, Caroline. All right?
I'm all right. What about you then? How's life been in the National League?
Yeah, it's been fantastic, to be fair. You know, I've never been in here before, always being a Football League manager. There's some wonderful teams in there you don't realise. You know, there's a lot of full-time teams in there as well. And I think there's probably 15 or 16 ex-league teams in there, so it is a really tough division to get out of.
Dave Anson's with me in the studio, and before you came on, we were talking about the fact that the manager you replaced, Chris Todd, he was a long time, a good friend to us on the show, talking to him. Were you surprised about how quickly that move happened?
What, my move or his move?
Him leaving the club.
Probably, but I mean, you know, it's difficult when you're talking about somebody who's been there. I mean, he was there, wasn't he, towards the end of the season, and then people say he's got the sack after four games, but you know, there's got to be more to it. But to be fair, you know, I don't like to see any manager lose a job, but it was presented an ideal opportunity for myself, to be fair.
Yeah, and I see I think sort of in the last couple of days, Ronnie, You've brought in Clark from Wimbledon.
Yeah.
A very experienced goalkeeper, and hadn't spent long at Wimbledon, but obviously hadn't settled. And what's your relationship with him? Do you know the lad?
I don't know. To be fair, I don't. I've got players here who've played with him.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of him, you know, in his Oxford days more than anything. And you know, I just felt that I need another goalkeeper to come into the club. And he's got the league experience, which helps, you know, when you're coming down a league as well, to have that experience and know what it's like. You know, and he's a good size, and he's one of these keepers who comes for him. He's not a puncher, he's a catcher, which is very rare nowadays in goalkeeping. Everybody wants to shove him. I think they forget, is it a goalkeeper? You've got to catch him sometimes. You know, everybody wants to punch him. So we're hoping that he's going to be a really good signing for us. And we took Jamie Curran in as well today.
Right, didn't know that. Yeah,
you know,
we're
a little. We've been. I've got young lad Scott Wilson, who did well at Western Supermare last year, but he's got an hamstring injury, so we've got three strikers at the moment. And I always like to have two of them on the bench, so two will play. And Curran really has come into the club as one of these guys who scores goals for fun. He'd be a good impact player. For people say he's 41, but. Hey,
who cares?
Only a number, isn't it?
Well, talking about numbers, Ronnie, I've just wrote beside my bit of paper, I've just put £3 note signs, which tells me if you're signing Curtin out of the league and you're signing Clark out of the league, then you're being given a substantial amount of money to do well. What's the chairman, what's his minimum requirement for you, really, this season?
Well, to be honest, he's not said anything to me at all. It certainly won't be bottom two, will it? But, you know, he'll not be looking for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, realistically, I mean, the club our size should be in the top five, you know, without doubt.
You're not far away from that now, are you?
We're a point off it, you know. We're only 11 games in, so there's a long, long way to go. I mean, we've had a good start with 4 wins and 2 draws. So we couldn't, 5 clean sheets and conceded 2 goals in them 7 games. So you couldn't ask for a better start. But like I say, we've done nothing. We've won nothing. We're still outside the top five. And we've got a really tough game coming up on Saturday with Sutton. But you look at some of the teams at this level. Forest Green, a fantastic footballing team. Dagenham still, he's got them going again. Lincoln, Dover, Barrow. You can go on and on. Macclesfield, all this. They're all good sides.
I'll tell you what they are, Ronnie. They're all full-time sides. And it's virtually become another football league as opposed to a non-league, isn't it?
Well, without doubt, I think if you are actually looking to get back into league football, you won't do it being a part-time team in the National League. You know, that won't happen. I mean, Braintree got very close to it last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
But that won't happen. I think it's near impossible for that to happen. So you're basically, your full-time teams at this level have all got a chance. I mean, it's funny, when in the league, you only want two teams to come up. But when you come into Nats League, you all of a sudden you want three, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure you've seen the news today that they're doing away with these Premier League B teams and the suggestion that they'd come into this League 3. But, of course, that could have real ramifications for the National League. If you weren't to go up this season, you know, you could, in theory, over the next couple of seasons, be promoted by default back to the Football League anyway. Do you think that the structure needs to sort itself out? I know you've only been sat in it for a month or so, but do you think that non-league needs to sort itself out?
I think it's difficult, you know, when you do only have one automatic place, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, you look at that and you're thinking to yourselves, one automatic and then one to go up from the playoffs. Well, you know, why should the League Two teams get away with it, to be fair? And like I said to you, I've turned my colours now.
Yeah.
you know, I'm now on this side of the fence. And when you're on this side of the fence, you can see what the argument's about. But it'll be a long time before that gets changed. I can't see anybody voting for that to come in. So in the meantime, you've just got to battle along and hopefully, you know, get yourself top of that league. That'll be the big thing for us, if we can do that and get out of the league.
Yeah.
Well, the chairman, to be fair to our chairman, I mean, he's been here 5 years now, and he's just desperate to own his own club, get the club out. Because I honestly do believe if he wanted to buy a club in the league, he could go and do it. But I think he's got this ambition that he's built his own club now, and he wants to see Eastleigh make it into league football. And you know, hopefully, with a bit of luck, then I'll be the one to do that for him.
Yeah, and to be fair, Ronnie, you know, I've seen the club evolve over the last sort of 10, 15 years from when they were entering around the Ryman Premier sort of level into, well, totally, totally changed. And someone like yourself coming in, vastly experienced, you know, and no spring chicken, it would have to be said. Going,
yeah.
And I say that because I'm exactly the same, but where does that drive come from? How do you get out of bed in the morning and still want to go and still feel you've something to prove in the game?
Well, I mean, the worst thing of all when you're a manager is getting a sack. You know, you think, well, you know, have I been a failure? And you look, I mean, without patting myself on the back, I must be one of the most unluckiest managers to get the bloody sack, to be fair.
Yeah, me and you both, Ronnie. Don't worry about that.
You know, I suppose we all think it's there, but, you know, finishing seventh in one team, finishing ninth in the other, being in fifth spot in one when you go, and you're thinking, hold on a minute, you know, be your second bottom or your bottom of the league when these type of things happen. So I love the game, absolutely love it. There's nothing worse when you're out of work. You know, you're sat at home, you're looking at games. You know, I've got an academy. I was lucky. I've got an academy in Rotherham where I was able to go in and train with we've got 4 to 14-year-old kids in there. So you know that helped me a little bit. But the drive always comes from within, doesn't it? That self motivation, if you like, and just the day to day banter and the laugh. But you know, to be given the opportunity, because it is basically, you know, you're coming to a club that's run like a proper league club. And that was one of the big reasons, you know, because sometimes when you've been in league football and you're looking, I know you're out of work, but you're thinking, ooh, is that job really going to help me? Am I really, you know, I'm coming up to 63 now, or I am 64. So you're thinking, if it don't quite work out there, then it's good night, Joe, innit? So, you know, you've got to have the opportunity, and I want to, you know, I'd love to be able to take the club. Like I say, I've never been out of league football, and it's, you know, I thought it'd be miles difference to league football, but it's not. You know, it's really not. The club is run as much as a professional club as any team that I've been with.
Hey, Ronnie, lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on. We'll hopefully catch up with you later in the season. And thank you for that exclusive on not wanting to be bottom two as well.
Cheers, Dave. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, cheers, Ronnie.
Take care, Ronnie. Bye-bye.
I like to hear that, you know, because you speak to people within league football and obviously not always on this show, but when I'm having a beer with people or whoever, and lots of people who have gone into the league have always said that to me, that there ain't a vast difference. Mm. There really is. And coming from someone as experienced as him, he proper got the T-shirt in the wardrobe, Ronnie Moore, you know.
Well, it's FA Vars action this weekend. A reminder, you can follow all the big results and stories via us on social media. You can find us at Non-League Show. The draw, though, for the third round qualifying, or however you want to say it, the third round qualifying. We had this argument, didn't we? Oh, no, you didn't have it, Dave Anson, last week. You were too busy on
a
golf
beach.
Course. He was on a beach or wherever he was. Yeah. But anyway, the draw was made this week. And one of the tasty ties, no doubt, the history makers of the Spartan South Hadley getting this far for the first time will head to Conference South side Eastbourne. Let's speak to Steve Gray and manager Mickey Hazard from the club. Evening, both.
Evening.
That's not a bad draw, is it, Steve?
Oh, great draw, yeah. I mean, obviously going to be tough, Conference South team, so a league above Kings Langley who we beat in the last round, but, you know, the run we've been on, nothing to fear.
Yeah, nothing to fear, Mickey. No pressure.
No pressure. I mean, listen, in life you get opportunities to exceed yourself and your dreams and your wishes. And we've got an opportunity. We've actually exceeded them already. So for me, it's a free hit. And we can go there totally relaxed, safe in the knowledge that win, lose or draw, we're going to be heroes, or the players will be. So it's a free hit as far as I'm concerned. And it's a wonderful opportunity for all the players.
Yeah, but that money, Steve, it's certainly handy at your level, isn't it?
Yeah, extremely handy. I mean, probably now more than ever, the timing's been perfect, really, because obviously we're back on our own ground and that's still not finished yet. The refurbishment works. We're still trying to finish the clubhouse. So builders in every day. It's paying a little bill. It's been a great help. Yeah, perfect.
Well, for those that don't know, Steve, kind of what's happened to the club over the past few seasons? And I said this is history getting this far. How key could it be?
Yeah, so we've got a few promotions in three successive seasons. So ground in Barnet wasn't up to the standard for the league, so we started ground sharing 8 seasons ago with Potters Bar Town. So we've been away from Barnet for 8 seasons, and throughout that whole period, probably even longer than 8 years, we've been trying to get back. So it's taken a very long time, but we're finally there, and you know, we've raised a lot of money, about over £400,000. So
blimey,
it's been a huge amount for a club of our size, but we're back there, and we've played 2 games there, both FA Cup wins. It's perfect timing.
Go on, Dave.
No, I was just going to obviously go to Mickey. Given your background, Mickey, Chelsea, Tottenham, amongst others, it's certainly not the furthest you've been in the FA Cup.
No, I've actually very fortunate, you know, as very few people sort of live out their dreams, and I've been very fortunate too, and to win the FA Cup was one of my schoolboy dreams. So, yeah, of course, I've been all the way and won the thing. But I've got to say that while it's incredible to win the thing and to certainly achieve your lifelong dream, if you like, but to achieve it as what we've achieved at Hadley with the players that we've achieved it with, it's absolutely been something staggering. And on Saturday, for instance, when we played Kings Langley, it's rare that I get excited and emotional with a result. But I found myself, as the fans were running onto the pitch at full time, I found myself joining them and jumping on the players.
Brilliant.
You know, and it's an emotion that I'm sort of more inside, I'm buzzing and jumping around, but on the outside, I like to be seen as someone who's calm and collected. But on this occasion, I just lost my head and I went running onto the pitch. So it was an incredible feeling to achieve what we've achieved, you know, small club like Hadley. So fair dues. It's been an amazing cup run, and long may it continue.
And just on that, make it as a manager, you know, I've spoke to lots of people who have played at the top level who have gone into non-league management. I was all right because I was always off that level. But I spoke to them and a lot of them had frustrations about dealing with, obviously, everyone plays at a particular level for a reason. And I wouldn't name names of the people I'd spoke to. They weren't certainly being big-time Charlies. They were just saying that they had a problem dealing with players who couldn't adapt or pick up the technical information that, that they wanted to give him. How, you know, you've obviously done really well with this side, and given your background, how have you dealt with that, and how have you found that dealing with people of the level you're at?
Well, first and foremost, it's football is an incredibly simple game, and it's made difficult by coaches who like to complicate it. you know, whether you coach at the bottom or whether you coach at the top, you play on a football pitch that's generally the same size. You play two goals at one goal at either end. There's a halfway line. There's 11 players per side. And
I knew the answer to all those.
Pass the ball. Yes. the object to pass is to pass the ball from A to B to your teammates, going the length of the pitch and then score a goal. So, it, you know, whatever level you play at, it's no different. And the more simple you keep it, the more successful you can be. You know, if you look at the greatest teams in the world, Barcelona, for instance, the game is based on the simple pass throughout the whole team. And of course, at some point, there's a more difficult pass. But ultimately, it's all about keeping it simple. So your explanations are simple too. And I'm very fortunate. I've got a lovely, lovely group of boys who listen intently and take on board the simplicity of what we're trying to do.
I know, I'm sure, Steve, that you'll want to hang on to Mickey and both of you to go higher. Dave probably want to talk about that. But just briefly, Mickey, aside from this, I don't know if you saw the news this week, Jimmy Bullard managing Leatherhead. What do you make about managers that come down, or players that come down and want to kind of try their hand in non-league and graft and go up that way?
I think it's great. I've got to be honest and say that I think that often the mistake that sort of big name players make is they go in at the very top before they've even learnt their trade of coaching and managing and coaching down with lesser players and with lesser funds and with lesser grounds and lesser pitches. It actually is much more educating. You have to adapt yourself to your surroundings and learn. And by the time you reach the top level, you're much more football educated for coaching and managing players. So I love it when when players who've just retired from the game come down to the lower level and work there. In fact, I think it should be compulsory that too, before you can manage in the Premier League, you should have had to do 3 or 4 years down in the lower leagues or the non-leagues. I think that should be compulsory as part of the coaching badges. Yeah. Because it's so educational and you really have to adapt and learn quickly or you go under. So I'm all for full credit to Jimmy. He's took the plunge and look forward to seeing him down here.
Yeah, I might even come to that one myself, Mike. But
it should be fun.
Yeah, it'll be wrong of us not to chuck this sort of one into the mixer. And as much as, you know, to both you, Steve and Mickey, I'll start with the manager because I'm a manager. This sort of run will obviously not put you in the shop window because you're a recognised name, Mickey, but Have you ambitions to go higher? With all due respect, Steve will be going, I'm glad I came on the show now. But have you, you know, and obviously we'll ask Steve's thoughts of as well. But yourself, Mickey, have you ambitions to go on in management, or is this very much a sort of part time and a few beers?
Well, listen, if somebody offers me the £1 million a week that I'm on at Adley, then no, listen, I absolutely love my time at Adley. I love working with, I've got a great committee, I've got a great group of players. It's been an absolute wonderful 2.5 years. It's been a pleasure. It's an hobby. I don't get paid for doing it. It's what I consider to be an hobby, but an hobby that I love. I'm in love with football. And to be given the opportunity at whatever level, it doesn't matter. Your love for football supersedes getting paid for it. So if someone comes in and says they're interested in me, I'll listen. But I'm very happy where I am, and I've not considered leaving, nor will I, until someone does say, we want Mickey Hazard. And then maybe I might consider it. But I'm absolutely incredibly happy at Adley. And in the foreseeable future, I certainly don't see any reason to move on to find happiness, because I'm incredibly happy.
You're going to hang on to him then, Steve?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question.
You're going to sack me tomorrow.
I mean, we never hold anyone back, even players. We encourage them, good young players. If they're good enough, they move on. We don't try and hold them back. We had a lad 2 years ago, Charlie Good, and he played a few games for the first team. And
went to Hendon.
Hendon, and then, you know, he's got his move to Scunthorpe, and straight away, he played five games for us, and you can tell straight away he's got a go, really. He's too good for our level. So never hold him back. But obviously, at the minute, Mickey's got his commitments at Spurs, which sort of he ties in with us. So I think it's a great fit for all of us at the minute, the way it's going. And we just want it to continue for as long as possible. So
I've got
a job for life here, Mickey.
I've got to finish with you, Steve. Obviously, our listeners won't be aware, but Mark Gray, your brother's assistant manager at Crawley, he's a friend of the show. He's been on it many times. I beat him on a golf course on a regular basis as well. But I suppose, you know, we're not sort of preempting anything because it's a difficult tie on Saturday. But would that be the next dream tie to get Crawley away?
Oh, it'd be amazing. Yeah, I'd love that. But one game at a time. Obviously, I've supported Matt. You know, me and Matt have grown up with the club. My dad played for Hadley. So since we were born, we've been at the club, you know, so there's long roots in our family. But, you know, Matt still follows Hadley results all the time. He was the first one to ring me after we beat Kings Langley. He was the first one on the phone. So, I mean, if ever we did sort of get a game against them, it'd be amazing. But focus on Eastbourne at the moment.
Yeah, so that's two or three ties away, isn't it? Yeah. It's a way off. I'm not saying it won't happen. Yeah. But when that happens, then Manchester United will be giving you a call, Mickey, for their job.
Maybe Spurs.
too right. Thank you both for coming on. All the best of luck in the next round. How are you going to spend the next sort of couple of weeks preparing for it?
Thank you, guys. Pleasure.
Go enjoy it. All right. Cheers, Steve. Cheers, Mickey.
See you soon.
Yeah, you swerved that one.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, bud. Take care.
Cheers. See you soon.
Steve and Mickey down at Hadley. And it's one of those ones, isn't it, when you look at what's happened, obviously, over FA Cup ties in the past. We were looking for where would be the glory at the come. There are stories littered across the cup and littered as well through the Vase.
Oh, there are. And it's what makes it special. You know, we said every year, and I always feel that the magic dust of the FA Cup is this level of it. It's the non-league lads fighting to get through to the first round proper, and then sometimes they get to the third round and get the, you know, we watch teams at Liverpool over the years. We've watched teams, you know, make their way to the third round, and it's a fantastic story. Every year we produce it, and this won't be any different.
How lucky are we to have the quality of Mickey
Hazard? You know, I know there'll be younger listeners who Mickey Hazard was a proper player at the very highest level, believe me.
And also to speak to Ronnie too, yes. Jimmy Bullard coming in.
Yep.
And there has been, I mean, there's been plenty of talk about what's going to happen to Ryan Giggs and where he goes now. And obviously linked with Swansea this week. But like Mickey was saying, get them down into non-league football, get them down into the Football League and get them managing there.
Justin Edinburgh's gone back, done great. Nigel Clough, non-league. You know, the lads who have come in from the pro game and stuck it out and sort of did their apprenticeship, I always feel have gone back stronger, you know.
Jimmy Bullard then, so you think that's a good move for him?
For Jimmy, I think the one thing I would say about, I don't know Jimmy Bullard, and I know a man who does, if that makes any sense, but I would say that, you know, we see Jimmy on TV and we see the comic and the banter guy, but there'll be a serious side to Jimmy Bullard because he couldn't get to the level of football he did without having that. And obviously the people at Leatherhead will know that. I would say if it's the celebrity off the TV, I would say it's an awful idea. If it's Jimmy Bullard, the footballer who got to the highest level out of Gravesend and Northfleet, I think, going back a few years.
Hey, not that I'm walking all over what you're saying.
Yeah.
Have you seen Ebbsfleet have started, formerly Gravesend and Northfleet, many happy nights spent there. Ebbsfleet started building their whole wraparound stand that they're building to. The money that's going to the infrastructure in that National South side. Again, we talk about Eastleigh, talk about Forest Green, the money involved
money,
in the top of national. The money still in the north and in the south.
Yeah,
it's phenomenal.
It is. It's unbelievable. And to go back to my story before, so rudely interrupted, I would say that.
I don't know what laugh that was. It just came out with you. Carry on.
I would say it depends what Jimmy Bullard turns up. But I would imagine it'll be the footballer and it'll be good fun. And if you're a player in that dressing room, you'll be looking forward to him turning up. You really will.
Do you play, what, you think you'll play better for Jimmy Bullard than you would whoever else it might be?
No. I would say that everybody plays better for the next guy for the first couple of weeks. even if he's a clown from the circus. You get away with the first couple of weeks, but after that, he'll have to earn his corn. But I would say, if I was in that dressing room as a footballer and Jimmy Boulhard was announced as the manager, knowing him, knowing that he's going to have a bit of banter.
I hope he's announced as Jimmy Boulhard, as you just did as well.
How do you pronounce it? How do you English people pronounce it? there's no H in the surname.
If Leatherhead are listening, please.
Or Leatherhead.
Leatherhead, please get Dave in to do the tannoy for his first game.
But I wish him well. Good golfer as well. He likes his golf, Jim.
Also wanted to mention, when we were talking to Ronnie Moore earlier, Eastleigh trying to grow on off the pitch and grow their teams around it too. So when we talk about investment in club, they're trying. Stuart Donaldson is trying to do it around the club, and they've just started a women's football team for over 40s, which is on Mondays between 10 and 11 a.m.
There's
a little parish notice for that though. Women's football at Eastleigh, Monday 10 to 11. Just check out their website if you want to find out more about
The community, and they will come.
Really?
Yeah, well, that, get it into the community, get it into schools, get women's football teams, get youth teams, get them all involved around you.
For once, you've listened to me.
Yes.
For once. I did mention that about 4 years ago, so he's finally picked up on
it. I just woke up.
You know what show you wouldn't hear that on?
What's that?
You waking up. It would be Radio Awoking. Throughout the kind of series of runs of this show that's going to continue forever, thanks to Audio Boom and others, we're going to attempt to speak to fans who talk about the game week in, week out. This week, attention on Woking, and in particular, Radio Woking. Declan from the team joins us. Hi, Declan.
Hi, guys.
Tell us about this season for Woking then, because the form's kind of picking up, isn't it? There was a few stinkers of results mixed in between.
Yeah, well, it feels like it's all kind of coming together at the moment. You know, the club have taken 10 points from the last 15, and Michael Poker, the goalkeeper of Woking Football Club, got his first clean sheet of the season last weekend. So, to be fair, as you mentioned, it certainly was a rocky season. You know, following Woking in the first 11 games, it has been pretty daunting at times, especially in the first six games of the season. I take my mind back now to Forest Green Rovers at home, and you know, we narrowly just lost 1-0. And speaking to the players after the game, and they kind of felt like they were, you know, bound for a run of good games. And it's certainly come now, you know, 10 points from the last 15. It's certainly a very positive attitude around Woking Football Club at this present moment. But, of course, a big game on Saturday against Tranmere, and, a couple of defeats in a row, and that can all change. And that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, welcome to football. But what I would say is that there didn't seem to be any panic around the place. You know, there's a trust there with the management, isn't there?
Well, you get that with Gary Hill, don't you? He is one of those.
Well, but I think that it's a good thing. You know, we've sort of seen that Gary Brabham's gone, and we're talking about the record that he had, which wasn't awful. But you don't sort of see that happening at Woking. You sort of think that they stick. Mind you, I wouldn't fancy Gary coming in if it sacked him. He's a big lad, you know. But there just doesn't seem to be any panic around it, as if they go, yeah, we trust him, and they will get it right. And I think they're right to do that, Declan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fans around Woking, of course, every single football fan gets frustrated with results. But when you've got a manager like Gary Hill, who's certainly been in the game for a lot longer than I have, you know, he brings almost this calmness. He doesn't overhype anything. He doesn't let anyone get drifted away in the clouds. You know, he firmly puts everyone's feet on the ground. And he had a very, very busy summer. You know, Woking lost some really big players, Scott Rundell, John Goddard, to name a few. And, you know, he's brought in a lot of players. Okay, some haven't gone to plan, you know, and he's quick to react to that. And, you know, this week, Charlie Penny and Ben Gordon, who he brought in over pre-season, you know, it didn't really work out for them. And now they're on their way. But he has brought in some brilliant players. Denon Lewis on loan from Watford at the moment. And he seems like a real star. And, of course, Connor Essam, you know, he was at Eastleigh. You know, their loss is essentially Woking Football Club's game because he's come in from the last three games. You know, Woking have only conceded twice in their last three. And he looks like an absolute gem of a signing, I must say. And Gary Hill is known for doing that. So, you know, Woking fans, they don't jump into an absolute panic because they know they have a manager who is well-trusted, puts a lot of faith into his players, and ultimately does get results.
Yeah, I think as well, Declan, that as a football manager, you know, people sometimes have no idea, Kaz, how difficult that is when you lose top players. You know, I think you know, some supporters, I wouldn't say all, but some people think that you just pop around the shop, get 20 Benson and Hedges and two centre forwards, and it just doesn't. And I've sort of wrote down here, you know, you're saying that some of his signings haven't worked out. You can't get them all right.
No,
it's impossible to get
them
all
right. You lose balance, you lose leaders,
you lose the dressing room changes. Yeah. It's format, you know. And the other thing about Gary is, and it might be because he used to be on the show quite a lot, and we ain't spoken to him for a while, but he seems a calmer man now with age. You know, he's
not ignoring us, by the way.
I know, and we need to call him, because he is a character who he'll tell you exactly what he thinks.
And he joins us now. No, he doesn't.
Yeah, but I think he seems calmer with it, and experience brings that. And just my final point is that is that I think if you go back a few weeks when we spoke about who would struggle, you asked me about Woking, and I said I expected them to pull out of it.
Yeah.
And for once, I think I'm going to be right.
I think you will be right. Declan, when we get fans on then of other clubs, we ask them what they think about the clubs that they've already played. Which side has stood out for you then this season already?
I think I've been thinking about this for quite a while today, and I think Lincoln City stands out for me. It was hard to judge out of the teams that we've seen, because, you know, it was the first game of the season when Lincoln visited Kingfield, and it's hard to really say that they're going to be a top side. But just from the organisation point of view, Danny Cowley has done an absolute brilliant job there in my eyes, and I expect them to do very well indeed. And, you know, they've got some big names and they've got some small names as well, which Danny Cowley has brought along with him, and I think he's going to do a fantastic job at Lincoln, and I do expect them to be near enough around the top of the table come the end of the season. Absolutely.
And the flip to that, who's had a stinker, do you think?
No diplomats. Well, I don't want anything diplomatic here. Tell me what you think.
I'm going to have to go with Wrexham, in all honesty. I mean, we are kind of Wrexham's bogey team, essentially. We always do quite well against them, but they did seem quite poor on Saturday. And, you can put it down to Woking being absolutely brilliant in the second half. But the first half, Woking weren't really in the game. And either were Wrexham, in all honesty. And I just didn't see the kind of the sting or the bite that they have shown in previous years.
Right then, Declan, that is expert analysis. If people want to hear more of that, why wouldn't they? How can they listen to you?
Well, they can listen to us on Radio Woking. So our tag's Woking Sport, and you can hear us every Saturday on radiowoking.co.uk online through DAB, 2 till 6 every Saturday. And we are the home of Woking Football Club. So why not give us a listen? And I would love to have you along.
Particularly if you support Wrexham. Declan, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers, bye. Declan. Declan then at Radio Woking. Well worth a listen to that, of course, when you're around and about on... And the good thing about it now is that most clubs now do their commentary. Mm. If you can't hear it on BBC local radio, you can certainly hear it via local clubs and the way that they do it too. And they're balanced as well.
No, they're not. Ones I've listened to. And you don't want them to be balanced. You want them to be absolutely one-sided.
Declan was just balanced with us. If you are like Radio Woking, or if you do have a radio station, if you want something to fill a bit of time beforehand, you can take our show and you can put it on whatever station you've got too. So Dave Anderson would love to be on your station. He won't come on, but you can take this show and you can put it at a weekend on yours. Just head to our website. You can find out more about that, nonleaguefootballshow.com too. You can find out more on how to put us on your website or how to put us on your radio show. That is almost it for this week. Next week, then, we have the chief exec of the National League with us. If you want to ask Michael a question, you can at nonleagueshow. Have you written one down?
No, I've just written down, I wanted to give a quick mention to Alan Dowson at Hampton and Richmond, who have had a great start. I spoke to him yesterday and I had to turn the volume down. He was going off about referees.
So yeah, I saw these quotes. Non-league paper carried these quotes this week. You were saying that they're far worse in the National League South than they ever were in the Ryman.
Yeah, and I accused him of telling porkies. He rang me up about something else, about a player. But I said, what's all that? And he went, oh, he said, Dave, well, I can't do the accent. Well, I could, but no one would understand. But he's adamant that there's a big problem there. And it's something that I've sort of said a few years ago as well.
You know what I'd love, and I keep saying this to you, I'd love to send you on a referee training course. And maybe Dowse should go with you. I'm calling him Douse, like he's my best mate. Maybe Alan Dowson should go with you. It's only because you did it. You dropped the Douse bomb.
I'll do it, as long as it's not as far away as some places, like this studio.
Yeah, love it because you're close to me.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. If there's something you think we should talk about, if there's someone you think we should talk to, Alan Dowson and a referee. Hey, you'll make the referee that sometimes we get on. Maybe we'll get him on to talk to Alan Dowson. I'm raising my eyebrows at you.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
And winking. You know the referee.
I've got him,
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you who. You know the referee, yeah. I mean. And that's an in-joke, which you'd never do on the radio. at Non-League Show to get in touch with us. Thank you for your company. Next week, then, we might have Julian Joachim on. I might call him to do next week. I said it would be this week, but I'd just like to keep you listening and keep you wanting more. If there is something, though, you want to get in touch with us about, you can find him on social media. Most of the time, he does nothing else apart from when he's on the golf course. And you can find me on there too. We're at Non-League Show. Goodbye.